Exodus 14 and verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pharaoh, between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host. And the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have you done this? This we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains and over every one of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them. And all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pirathah, before Baal-zephon. But when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Praise God. You know, as believers, we are so privileged to know that God is not distant off somewhere, but he's near to us. He's involved in our lives. Some years ago, there was a popular song, a pop song, that went something like this: God is watching us from a distance, way out there in the distance. Now, that's deism. Deism says that God is not really involved in our life. People that were deist believe that God exists, but they just believe that he's uninvolved in what is going on with us. We believe, and the Word of God confirms, that God is involved in the lives of his people. Amen. God is near to his people. Several verses of scripture that confirm that. Let me give you a couple of verses this morning. Psalm 145 and verse 8. "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Another verse is Psalm 34:18. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." So we're encouraged today, or we should be encouraged today, to know that God is not out there somewhere in the distance, just observing what's going on here in the world, detached, uninvolved, but God is near unto his people. Amen. Praise God. As a matter of fact, that's an interesting word there in those verses in the Old Testament. The word nigh, it doesn't just mean near. It does mean near, but it means more than that. The word, which I can't pronounce most of these Old Testament Hebrew words, but the Hebrew word, karab, it means, yes, he's near to us, but it means more than that. It means that he's allied with us. It means that he is ready to step in at any time that we are in need. So when it says that the Lord is nigh unto him who calls upon them, it means that God is close by and he is ready and willing to help you in your circumstance that you're in. Praise God. Thank God for that wonderful hope that we have. Now, since we know that God is not detached, he's not far away from us, he is involved in our life, he is close to us, and he is ready to come to our rescue at any time. Praise God. That's the God that we serve, who's involved in our lives, who's interested and concerned with us. He's also a God who wants to fellowship with you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to speak to you. And so he's not distant, but he's close to you, ready to help you, and he's ready to speak to you. Amen. He primarily does that through the Word of God. We know we hear his voice primarily through the Scripture, hearing his voice in every line. When you read the Word of God with sincerity and with a desire to hear the voice of God, God can speak to you through the pages of the Scripture. Praise God for that. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's living. It's active. And God is able, by his Word, the truth of his Word, can speak right to you and right to your situation, no matter what you're up against here today. So God wants to commune with you. He wants to be near to you. He wants to help you. He wants to fellowship with you. He speaks to us primarily through the ministry of the Word of God in our hearts, but also by his Holy Spirit. Now, whenever God speaks by his Spirit, it is not ever to contradict the Word of God. Usually, the Spirit of God that speaks confirms what the Word of God has already said. And it will never contradict, but the voice of the Spirit of God, as you draw nearer to him, that God speaks to you, and you sense the voice of the Lord. You sense the direction of the Spirit and the compelling of the Spirit of God. Isaiah 30, verse 21, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. I'm so thankful for the Word of God, and I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that quickens us, and he speaks to us and confirms that God is interested in what's going on in all of our lives. Amen. Since we know that this is so important, then we should be careful how that what we open our heart to and what we listen to in these days. Because this is the Word of God. It's not a suggestion. This is a commandment from the Lord. And he wants to speak to you truth that can change your life. Truth that can save you. Truth that will have an effect upon you, not only in this world, but in all eternity that is to come. Amen. So we don't need to be so quick to jump on every bandwagon that comes along. Just because somebody's got a new book out doesn't mean we need to read it and believe everything as if it's the Word of God. We don't take everything. We put everything to the test of truth. Everything is tested by the truth of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It's all put to the test. Everything that we consume, everything, even the, you know, don't be so quick to jump on some new version of the Bible just because it's trendy or sounds cool. Remember, you're handling the words of life. You're handling the Word of God. And we need to make sure that we are hearing his voice. Amen. Praise God. I guess one of the most common things that happens in Christians, and I'm going somewhere if you'll just kind of stay with me here this morning. One of the most common things that happens whenever we face trouble or crisis in our lives is that we immediately want to do something about it. Or we want somebody to do something about it. And these news accounts of these Christians being martyred in Iraq in the last week or two, whenever I hear and see these reports, I just feel like we need to take some action. We need to get in there. We need to help them. We need to do something about this crisis.
when all these that potentially are terrorists coming across the border by the hundreds and thousands every week into our country, I just feel like somebody needs to do something. And our natural reaction in almost every problem is, we've got to do something about this. Somebody has got to take action. But here's where I'm going this morning with this. That there is a place whereby we can get with God. We can enter into this and get into this position of confidence and faith in God, where we can do what God's word tells us to do, and we can believe that God is at work even though it's out of our hands. Even though it's impossible for us to do anything about it, we know because God is at work. That is the position of faith that we need to be standing in. We need to be in that place where we have come to the place in our walk with the Lord, in our relationship with the Lord, that we've heard His voice, we've experienced the truth of His word, and as a result, we just believe it, and we're putting our confidence in the Lord, and we're willing to stand confident no matter what is going on around us. Now, the reason why that this is on my mind, I think, so much is because I believe that it's so important that a church, before we can experience the supernatural, before we can experience revival, there has to be an atmosphere of faith and confidence in God. We have to believe that God can do it. Amen. Your prayer is in vain if you really don't believe that God is going to change things. If you really don't believe that God can send revival and that there can be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God and numbers of people can be born into the kingdom of God. If you don't believe that, then you're wasting a whole lot of energy. Amen. We need to get a hold of God, and we need to get to that place through prayer, through fellowship with the Lord, hearing the voice of the Lord. And we have the privilege to come to Him. Why not come into that place where we hear His voice and finally come to the place that we're assured in our heart? Have you ever had that happen to you before? Have you ever prayed about something and suddenly you just sensed God is going to move in this situation? You just have an assurance. There's no evidence of it. There's no signs that anything's changing. But you've prayed about it, you've committed it to the Lord, you've heard from God, and you're just standing in faith because you believe that God is going to do what He's promised that He would do. Hallelujah. I believe before we can experience the revival that God wants to send to us here as a local church and a community, there's going to have to be a willingness to come to that place in faith, in confidence in God. And we need to ask the Lord to help us. Help me, Lord, to develop an atmosphere of faith in God. To believe your word and to believe that you truly are going to do what you have promised to do. Amen. You know, and in the scripture that Jesus himself, I mean, you would never imagine that Jesus' hands could be tied and that miracles would not be performed. But that's what the Bible says. In Matthew 13, he was in his own hometown, and those that were around him in his hometown were offended by him, and they said, "Prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house." Matthew 13, 58. And he did not many works there because of their unbelief. Their unbelief literally tied the hands of the Son of God. It's pretty hard to imagine, isn't it? But I'm telling you, unbelief is like a cloud of hopelessness. It's like a cloud of darkness that comes in upon your mind and your heart and convinces you God can't change things. God can't do anything about my need or my problem or my concern. But I just want to challenge you this morning. Get beyond all of that doubt and all of that, you know, pray about your problems, but keep praying until you pray through to the point that you have an assurance that God is at work. Amen. And you believe that He is at work. Even the story in Matthew chapter 5, you remember the ruler of the synagogue that came to Jesus The Bible says that Jairus came to Jesus and said, I have a little girl. She's at the point of death. Would you come and put your hands upon her that she could be healed? And so the Bible says that Jesus went with him. But on the way, there was a woman with an issue of blood. And you know the story, how that Jesus, that this woman reached out in the crowd, touched Jesus. And I guess it almost seems like a distraction from where he was going and what he was doing. But in the process of all of that, that woman with the issue of blood was healed. And then right at the very moment that great miracle took place, someone came, a servant came from Jairus' house and said, well, all hope is gone. Your daughter is dead. Don't even waste the time of the master. Don't waste his time. But notice what it says in the scripture. It says that Jesus said, immediately, Jesus countered the hopelessness and the doubt of that situation and tells Jairus, only believe. Put your confidence. Don't allow this statement that's been made. Don't allow this hopelessness that's been made to affect your confidence and your faith in God. Just believe. Amen. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Believe God. The Bible says that they made their trip. They get there. And now it's turned from a prayer meeting to a mourner's, to a place of mourning. And likely what was going on there is it was a common thing to hire people who were professional mourners. And they were all there and they were weeping and they were crying. But the Bible says that as soon as Jesus said, she's not dead, she's just sleeping, that their crying turned into laughing. They started laughing at Jesus. They weren't really compassionate or concerned about the situation. But the Bible says that Jesus put them outside of the room. He put them out, and he only allowed those of the inner circle and the parents to come in into that room. What was he doing? He was changing the atmosphere of unbelief. He was getting the doubt out and the unbelief out and the hopelessness out and the grief out. He was removing all of that out of the room, and he was replacing it all with those who were filled with confidence that Jesus was able to take care of this problem. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the thing that is really on my mind, on my heart this weekend as we make preparation for revival is that we allow God to speak to us and to help us to see that God can do all things are possible. All things are possible if we'll just put our hope and our confidence in the Lord. Now what the scripture from our text here today, from the book of Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel are backed in the corner. They've left Egypt, but now the way that they have taken, the pathway that they have followed, they're literally backed into a corner. In front of them is the Red Sea. On both sides of them are mountain ranges, and behind them are the Egyptian armies that are pursuing them. This is a no way out situation. This is hopelessness, despair, and that's what happened to the people. When they saw the circumstance, then they were afraid. They cried out to the Lord and even said to Moses, sarcastically, were there not no graves out here? Why did you bring us out here so there'd be a cemetery here too? Why did you bring us out here to such a place? And Moses said to them, his response was, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that's a phrase that's used many times in the scripture, telling the people of God, just be still, just stand still, just wait on the Lord. Now how can you stand with that kind of confidence? The only way that you can really stand with that kind of a confidence is if you have heard from God and you've been with the Lord and you know his heart. And you know that God has given you the promise that he's already at work in your situation. And I believe that God looks for people who are willing to put their faith in God. A lot of people, it seems like they experience so many wonderful miracles, so many wonderful things in their life. And for the most part, it's because they have this high expectation of what God can do. They have such a confidence in God and the promise of God. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That God searches throughout the earth and he looks for that person who is a person of faith and confidence in the Lord. Where it says in that verse, who has a perfect heart toward the Lord. It doesn't mean that he's perfect in the sense that there's no weakness or failure or error in his life. The word there is a word that means quiet or peaceful toward him. It just kind of sets back and says, God, I know you're at work. I know you're at work. The eyes of the Lord. What's God looking for? He's looking for men and women like you and me. He's looking for people who have such a confidence in the Lord that we just kind of set back with confidence and recognize God is at work, and we can just kind of quietly and peacefully wait on the Lord to move in our situation. Amen. You say, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to be, are we supposed to be passive? And does that mean that we're just to kind of stand back and just let happen what's going to happen? Not at all. We're not controlled by fate. Fate, what will be, will be. We're not controlled by fate as Christians. We're controlled by the promises of God. What God says will be. It's not fate. It's faith. It's confidence in the Word of God, the promises of God. And so whenever Moses said, don't be afraid, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, it wasn't just stand back and don't do anything. It was totally be still. And there are times when God brings us into circumstances that we cannot do anything about it. Amen. Amen. There are circumstances we find ourselves in where there are no answers, just like the children of Israel were backed up against the Red Sea with no hope and no way out. You do find yourself in predicaments where you cannot do anything about the situation. And the position of faith then is stand still and see God move. Amen. See God move. Believe that he will work and that he will move. To stand still, it means stop all activity, cease from all striving, just kind of give up trying to come up with a cure or an answer yourself. Put it in the hands of the Lord. Trust the Lord. You can't do anything about it anyway. You can't solve the problem. You can't take care of this great burden. Put it in the hands of the Lord and take that necessary step and step into that position of absolute faith and confidence in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you been there before? I'm telling you, I believe that as a church, we are there. We are there as a body. Here, we can't. There's a lot of things we can't change. There's a lot of people that if I could change them, I would change them. If my will would bring about the change or the difference, they would have already been changed. And my own effort would have accomplished it. Or your efforts would have accomplished it. Then it would already be done. But we know that when it comes to revival and to a move of God, supernatural outpouring of the Spirit of God, it's absolutely necessary that we be a people that's dependent upon God, that we're trusting in the Lord. And so the Lord will back us into a corner. He will bring us and lead us into a situation where we cannot resolve it in our own strength. Amen. And that's where you are, many of you. You're there. And as a church, we're there in need of to hear the voice of the Lord. And what God, I believe God wants to help us, speak to us here today. Help us to see that there's a place, there's a position in God and faith in God where all doubt and all discouragement and all hopelessness is gone and our hope is put in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Doesn't mean you don't have a problem. Doesn't mean you don't have needs or burdens. It just simply means you've prayed this thing to the point that you recognize, I am putting this
all in the hands of God. Amen. And the need for an outpouring of the Spirit of God, there's never, to my experience, ever been a time such as we're faced with today, a need for such a supernatural move of God in families, in homes, among children and young people, every age group, such a need for a moving of the Spirit of God. And as I said, if I could change people, if I could change circumstances, I would have already done it. But I do know this much, that I can call upon the Lord, I can wait before the Lord, and even in the most difficult and hard situations, we can believe that God is at work today. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Have you thought much about that verse of Scripture? You can be holy, it's not enough. You can be righteous, it's not enough. You can have love, you can have compassion, you can have all these wonderful attributes. You can give to the work of the Lord, you can give your energy, your time, you can work on all of these things, and they're all wonderful and all a blessing to the kingdom of God. But without faith, you're not pleasing God. Without faith, we are not pleasing to the Lord. And to take it even a step further, the Bible calls our unbelief evil. Take heed, lest in you, in me, there would be an evil heart of unbelief. Now, I'm not one for give much credibility to positive confessions and all of that stuff. I understand that's been taken so far to the extreme. But I do think that we could learn a few lessons from it in our conversation. Amen. We could take a few lessons and understand that God wants us to be a people who trust Him. Amen. We put our confidence in the Lord, and we're quick to speak up with that kind of a trust and confidence in God. We don't mind it. We're willing to give God the confidence that surely He is at work, and that unbelief has no place in your life or in my life. Amen. Glory to God. There's a lot of people we've prayed for a long time to be saved. Do I believe that they're going to come to the Lord? Yeah, yes, I do. I do. As a matter of fact, I believe that some of these that you've prayed for, that God is arranging circumstances in their life, and He's speaking to them in behind the scenes in ways that you can't even imagine. God is at work. And we've committed them to the Lord. We pray for them on a regular, faithful basis. And so we know that God is at work. Amen. We have an assurance of that confidence. When it comes to revival, our brother the other night, Brother Tyler, preached about dreams and dreaming. Really, the whole necessity that we have for faith and confidence and to see a dream fulfilled in our heart. Those dreams come from the Lord, and God, He wants to fulfill those things in your life, in my life, and right here among us in this local church. Such a need and such a great possibility for lives to be changed and for revival to come if we could just somehow move to that new position of faith in God. Amen. Instead of always straggling behind with doubt, unbelief, worry, fear, can't seem to come out of our despair. We can't see our way out of the situation. Amen. I remember whenever my dad was dying with cancer that my hospice was taking care of him, and my dad wasn't saved. And so they said to my mother in a meeting one day, they said, well, we want you to know that some people, they just make it right with God in their own quiet, private way. You may not ever even know that they have really gotten saved. And my mom said, no. She said, no. And it startled them. And she said, I've prayed for him for 35 years. 40 years, however long. I pray. He's not going to die and me not know. That's not going to happen. He's going to die and I'm going to know. And it startled the hospice people. But
She just got a hold of that. I don't know, at some point in time in her over the years, she got a hold of it. She believed it. And even though that, you know, every week he was declining and he was not had not made a move toward the Lord, she still believed it. Amen. And she held on to that, and she would not accept the hopelessness and the doubt of that circumstance. And praise God, 2 weeks before he passed away, he repented of his sins, he believed upon the Lord, and the thing that she hoped for became a reality. Glory to God. Amen. And I got on a plane and flew out there immediately because I wanted to hear it from him. And I heard it from his lips. Even though it was a weak voice, he was telling people that came in the door what God had done in his life. This was not just some deathbed conversion. This was the real deal. It was God. It was the fulfillment of faith. Somewhere along the line, my mother had stepped up to that position of faith, and it didn't matter what was going on in her life or around her. She just believed that God was already doing what he said that he would do. And I think that for a lot of us here today that are concerned and you're praying for lost people, family, loved ones, and if there's hopelessness in your mind and in your heart, if you're thinking, I don't see how that it could ever happen, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. And sure, you need to pray for them, but you also need to pray for your own faith that's a little weak. You need to pray that God would strengthen your faith and bring you to that position, to the place where you're finally understanding God is going to work like he has promised. I've got a hold of the promise of God, and I believe that he is at work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For me, there's been a number of times over the years that I've had, and I know I don't give a lot of credibility to dreams, but there's been a couple of times, maybe three times over the years that the Lord has given me, I believe from the Lord, dreams where there were so many people in this sanctuary that we were having to go down the aisles and say, excuse me, okay, trying to get through because there were so many people here in this place. Hallelujah. You say, oh, that's pretty far out. No, it's not. It's not at all. Amen. It's something that God can do supernaturally. God will do if we'll just move to that position. Get out of the doubt, get out of the unbelief, and get from that position and step up to a whole new position where you have faith in God. You believe his word, and you're standing upon the promise of God and believing God for revival. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. We know the story that we read to you there from Exodus 14. They just stopped. They heard the word of the Lord. Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. And the deliverance came. Amen. The Lord's going to fight your battle for you. We know that's exactly what happened. That really what God was wanting to do that day is he was wanting to demonstrate to that to the children of Israel that all of those people that were going to die when that Red Sea came together, he wanted them to visibly see the hand of God. Now God could have destroyed them by the angel of the Lord before they ever got to the children of Israel, before they ever got to the Red Sea. He could have done it another way, but he did it the way he did it because he wanted them to see that entire army destroyed by the supernatural hand of God. He wanted them to witness God's mighty hand, God working in that impossible situation, because they were getting ready to go and move forward into many other trying situations that were ahead of them, and they needed to know, to see that the hand of God was at work in their lives. Amen. I think there's some folks here that are a part of this group this morning that you need to just step back, stand still, and trust God. Amen. You've been striving. Sometimes you almost get frantic because you want God to move. You want God to move on your schedule, your timetable, and you just get frantic almost even in your prayers. You're frantic. You're desperate. God, you've got to change this. You've got to work in this. You've got to move in this situation. And really what God wants you to do is let go of it all. Get it out of your hands, step back, and stand still, and watch God work. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promise of God. And Lord, I just pray that there'll be a transformation of faith
take place today in the lives of men and women and everybody, Lord, that's gathered into this sanctuary today. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would do a work, and we could hear your voice, and we could have an assurance, a confidence, Lord, that today, like we've not had before, so that we can release it, put it in your hands, and believe that you're working in impossible situations. Praise God.